Now we'll do, this is part two of broadcast number 632, December 16th, 1984. There was another story in the San Jose Mercury, star-studded suit against Coke, that's Coca-Cola, not cocaine, charges and lost business chances. This is a $90 million lawsuit against a Coca-Cola bottling company. It involves two former professional football players, Democratic presidential candidate Jesse Jackson, and it has to do with a franchise of Coca-Cola and the Operation Push, the organization that Jesse Jackson has, and his involvement in insisting that a certain person be part of the, with two other people, and taking over this franchise. And then he and the person that he suggested actually took control, and in 1981 of August, Coca-Cola signed a letter of intent to of a contract with three people, Mr. Richter, Mr. Figner, and Mr. Ford. And then 1 year later, Mr. Ford alone got the contract of the Coca-Cola vending machine. And Richter and Figner claim that Ford and Coca-Cola dealt behind their backs and worked improperly and interfered with their opportunity to do business. They were told they had to take Mr. Ford, you know, to get the contract. And then Jesse Jackson, that was part of Operation Push. He won't testify. They send him letters. He isn't named in the suit. Jesse Jackson is not named as a defendant, but he possibly holds information relating to the case, and his acts may have been an underlying cause for the situation upon which the suit was based. He's declined to answer 19 questions about it, so that is hanging in the air. It's a big lawsuit that's taking place in San Jose, and we'll know more about it. But his activity with Push were the suggestion of some dealings or financial payback by getting certain blacks the franchises with these big corporations is hinted, and in Cleveland they mentioned a $2.2 million, which isn't a small figure. And the Wall Street Journal has another interesting article. The Security Exchange examines the stock trading by Burt Lance and Mr. Jake Butcher of Tennessee, whose bank just collapsed, in the probe of Mr. Thayer of the Defense Department. Mr. Thayer is combining his corporation, the Campbell Taggart Incorporation, with Anheuser-Busch. The two were to merge, and the profits went up tremendously. And what this article is about is about Burt Lance's stockbroker in Atlanta, Georgia, having information about the merger. Now, Atlanta, Georgia, and Jimmy Carter are very close to Jesse Jackson. There was another story that Jesse Jackson was under question by the Justice Department, and Jimmy Carter had the suit dropped. It was in the paper this last week, January the 6th, along with Jackson's great success. How Carter curbed the probe of Jesse Jackson. Just before the 1980 election, the Carter White House officials intervened to stop the FBI from delivering an official letter to Jesse Jackson questioning him about a $10,000 contribution from Libya. Remember that Billy Carter and Gaddafi in Libya were all working very closely with Robert Vesco, who later the Carter administration people in Vesco are involved with Bernard Court and with Grenada, but we won't digress that far. Just that they all worked together then and work together now. But before the 1980 election, Jesse Jackson was questioned about $10,000. The Justice Department probe just closed last month. Isn't that cute? In December of 1983, when Jesse Jackson is supposed to be the big hero to replace John Anderson or Eugene McCarthy. Those of you people who voted for Eugene McCarthy and then John Anderson, you've got Jesse Jackson now to split those Democrats, just like they do in Chile, and I bet Reagan is laughing all the way to the polls. Just in December, just in time, you know, for this fellow to fly over, and I'm sure the Secretary of the Navy, John Lehman, knew very well what he was doing when Jesse Jackson went over there. The Justice Department closed it and concluded that Jackson, who's seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, did not have to register as a foreign agent. Jackson supported Jimmy Carter in 1980, naturally, and his organization, People United to Serve Humanity, received $10,000 from the Libyan ambassador in December 1979. Now, Jackson's attorney was John H. Bustamante of Cleveland. I have to look that up, but that name rings a bell. I think that's the same judge that was involved with various scandals on 60 Minutes. I forgot to look that up this week before I came in. Bustamante of Cleveland was the judge that the FBI made a mistake and didn't investigate for the past 5 or 6 years with various scandals. Jesse Jackson was protected, and these documents were released under Freedom of Information Act to a freelance writer doing a book on the influence of Arab money on U.S. politics. So there you have connections of the Middle East. There's a lot of them with Jesse Jackson and his context to Libya and to Jimmy Carter. So Jimmy Carter's head of the Office of Management Budget, Burt Lance, had advanced knowledge, according to this new investigation of the Security Exchange Commission, with Mr. Thayer, who became the deputy head of the Defense Department under Ronald Reagan, who is an Anheuser-Busch board member. Mr. Thayer is on the board of Anheuser-Busch, and he was close to the stockbroker, and it tangles into Burt Lance and Jimmy Carter, and Anheuser-Busch is one of the corporations that funded, as well as Coca-Cola, from Atlanta, Georgia, the headquarters that gave money to Jesse Jackson in down for his Operation Push out of Cleveland, but put money into him from Atlanta, Georgia, and then up from Cleveland. So that you get elements of the Middle East, of the Defense Department, of a major beer corporation, which is just what the blacks need are breweries, more beer and breweries for them, instead of some educational, maybe publishing or book business to raise their standard of living and their education instead of boozing them out with Coca-Cola and beer. Those are weird franchises, I thought, anyway, for Operation Push, because they certainly can't do anything to help them. And you know the history of those particular products, that he could have done something a little better in getting money. Another story, Jesse Jackson and Reverend Falwell in the newspaper list last week, that are holding a strategy session when Jackson returned from Syria to talk about the Omaha, Nebraska, the church there, the school with the unaccredited Faith Christian College, the strategy between Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, and Jesse Jackson on the controversial Christian school. They seem to see eye to eye and work on that. And then another article, Falwell says Jackson was Syria's pawn when he went over there, that they used him, that Falwell's a strong supporter of Israel, which Jesse Jackson is not, and they asked, Falwell just says that he was a pawn of the Syrian government. I don't believe that, because Ronald Reagan didn't answer Jesse Jackson's telephone, and he went over to Syria, didn't mean that he didn't have the blessings of Ronald Reagan administration. There is nothing better for Ronald Reagan's administration, believe me, than Jesse Jackson, because now he can get some blacks to register, and then if the administration, Mondale doesn't take a black vice president, the people he registers won't vote, it'll split the Democrats instead of all of them being behind one man and saying anybody but Reagan. He is an establishment black. The system decided they would choose the black leaders. You can see that Andrew Young and Jesse Jackson have done nothing to open up the investigation of Martin Luther King. He used it for his own press conferences, for his own story, to take the death of this man, to catapult his hand-picked career into the limelight, to the mass media. The House Select Committee on Assassination spent $6 million to find out who killed John Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and they came to an absolute conclusion that there was a conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King. And any black leader who doesn't want to know who killed Martin Luther King, knowing the killer is out and wines and dines with these killers, can expect that he will be neutralized by the system eventually. He is a pawn in their game. He's totally worthless. And what I say won't matter for those of you that want to vote for him. You'll vote for him anyway. If you need a new model, you need something different, do what you want, but you get what you deserve. That's not saying that these elections will necessarily put Reagan out no matter what, because there's enough dumb people to split their opinions or not vote at all that they'll hand it to Ronald Reagan, and they're starting to complain now about the administration. Just wait till you see the next 4 years And if you want Jesse, he's all yours. He's not mine. It has nothing to do with white or black. It has to do with the inability to face the reality that leaders are killed and that you must find out who killed them so that you and your children are safe for future generations. And if you don't care that much, it doesn't, it's not going to help him to play all the games, because when they want him, he's just one bullet away too. And as he runs all the Anheuser-Busches and the Coca-Cola plants and all the Arab racists and the anti-Semites and his fanaticism with Falwell and the moral majority, and you put it all together, and he can be offed in one moment as quick as they want him off after they've used him. And they'll use him and you'll use him. And I think as a person, he speaks eloquently, but that has no meaning for today's world. What he's phrasing has absolutely no meaning. We're fighting death squads. Jack Anderson had an article this week how in 1954 the CIA set up these death squads. And all those words have no meaning as long as any selected leaders are off the way they are and the way it's covered up. Now, there are a lot of big stories in the news, but there's none larger today, right now, than the President of the United States wanting to recognize the Vatican. He's been wanting to do this for a long time, and while it's been a suppressed story a lot of the time, I have been keeping it in the news for you regularly or as much as I can on this program and bring you up to date about those activities there. Now today, the January 16th, 1984, the Pope just sent his envoy in New York City, it's J. Peter Grace, the head of the Vatican, and knighted. So they made some more Knights of Malta today. What are the Knights of Malta? They have a dual allegiance. I never took this thing seriously until a few years ago. They have a double passport. They have a double country. Their allegiance is to the Vatican, primarily no longer to the United States of America. The Church of Rome is where they take their orders, and they make these new knights. Be interesting. I should think that John Layman would be a candidate about this time. Last year, Alexander Haig was knighted. The same day that the knighting took place today, the Pope, a small article, Associated Press, the Pope has praise for Opus Dei. Why wouldn't he? Opus Dei are the wealthy Catholics, 73,000 members in 87 countries who put up the cash. They are secretive in nature. They have symbolic flagellation, self-punishment, and you know what that is. That's Vicky Moore. That's Alfred Bloomingdale's activity without Vicky to do it. You do it to yourself, okay? This organization funds the Vatican to bring back the Roman Empire. There's a long article that I'll go in with you later and outline and share, but it was in the New York Times, December 24th, 1983, The Secret World of Opus Dei. If you want to read it, it's a new article. There's a lot of articles, and I do have back broadcasts. The International Religious Society, known for its strict conservatism and its air of carefully nourished mystery, now enjoys the favor of the traditionalist John Pope II. It's no mystery that the Pope worked at Auschwitz. It's no mystery he worked for IG Farben, the chemical company that was doing the exterminations. It's no mystery that he has Mr. Hermann Abst at the Vatican Bank, who wrote the paychecks for the Gestapo, for SS Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Hitler. And now the effrontery of wanting the United States, Ronald Reagan, to have the United States have an ambassador in and out of the Vatican is absolutely outrageous. A story this week of the Wall Street Journal, the Vatican may pay 25% of the debt left by Banco Ambrosiano. Banco Ambrosiano is the largest bank in Italy. They put up money along with the Vatican. There's $1.2 billion missing. We should never, never have an ambassador to the Vatican until they explain where the money in the Bahamas went. There are about 10 doors with dummy fronts, and I'm giving you information. You can take notes or get this broadcast on tape if you're not taping it, and write to, I'll tell you, the members of the Senate to write to. They are tied in with mafia. Mrs. Roberta Calvi, whose husband was the president of Banco Ambrosiano, said that the Vatican was responsible for killing her husband. They're into the mafia, drug running, gun running, assassinations. This is no time for the United States of America to have an ambassador to the Vatican. We should pull back They have a debt of $1.3 billion. They should explain it's not just a debt. It is an amount of money that is involved in the Bahamas, in the Cayman Islands, with death squads in Central America, South America, mafia hit teams. This isn't any longer a religious organization any more than the Vatican was in putting in Franco and Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. Now they want to pay about $300 million, the equivalent of a $1.3 billion debt when the bank collapsed, because they owe money to a lot of the foreign banks, foreign creditors, the banks, and to pacify them at this time, and this is where the Opus Dei comes in, they're willing to put up a good hunk of the money. Banks are in Italy are shifting this money around from various institutions, and the Vatican is willing to put them at ease to put up a good hunk, some $300 million, to settle the foreign creditors bank that they're asking for. When that bank collapsed with its tentacles to the Vatican, a lot of people were hurt, and banks in Europe were hurt. And so at the time that we're going to have our ambassador there, they're offering to make a little settlement. The Washington is trying to restore ties to the Vatican. Now, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I don't have the committee members' names. I'll get them next week for you, but you can look them up in the library. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee, or call Washington and ask for the list of members. I'll put them on the air. I didn't do it today. It was a holiday, and I didn't think they would be there. They're starting the Martin Luther King holiday. And write and ask them to take note of the position of the Vatican today and how it's been involved with Stiebaum, the organization in Milan linked to the Vatican, gun running. That involves a fellow from Syria and their headquarters in Milan directly in the Banco Ambrosiano building. Drug arrests, charges of murder, missing money, mafia connections. We should stay out of that. Part of our problem in this country is the mingling of all these various elements until this government can't keep its head straight about what is going on in terms of who the good guys are, the bad, because when you started after World War II letting Lucky Luciana out and go back to Italy, when the guy who prosecuted him, Tom Dewey, the DA in New York, prosecutes Ed of Murder Incorporated and then releases him to start working for the United States Pentagon and divide up the narcotics traffic between Meyer Lansky. How do you know what in the heck is going on in this country? A while back, I've mentioned before, Meyer Lansky had property in Texas that he sold to the federal government to build a federal prison. He should be on the inside. He shouldn't have the property on the outside. Then the federal government sends his son to West Point instead of his paying for his education, one of the wealthiest drug mafia kings in the world, and he gets an education at West Point. In the book, The Merchant Bankers, by Joseph Weisberg, it was published in 1966, one of the merchant bankers they describe as Hermann Apps, the paymaster for Nazi Germany, who works the head of the Opus Dei that the Vatican is praising, works in the Vatican, Hermann Apps, and he was interviewed. And there's a story here. It says, during the war, when Apps attended an international conference in Switzerland, this is the last war, in the height of Nazi Germany, when he was the banker for Adolf Hitler, the Deutsche Bank, and on the board of IG Farben, the large combine that was making Zyklon B and the chemicals for extermination. During the last war, at a conference, when Hermann Apps was there representing Germany, he was asked, didn't he suffer from the inner conflict of being a good Catholic and a good German? And he answered, this problem never existed for me. I was always a Christian first and a German afterwards. Hermann Apps said, he hopes for a future supranational Europe, a cultural Atlantic community to revive the ideals of the Greek-Roman era. Now that's what the Sovereign Military Order of Malta is. They are the military branch to fight for the Church of Rome. And I have the names of some of those military order of Malta, and I'll run them down for you. I've done them before, but a few more, because they're being knighted today. Now, as far as the Vatican ties on broadcast, it was in June of this last year, I told how Senator Lugar was pushing this bill through. It was attached to another bill in Congress that was very popular, that was going through. So Lugar, who has connections to Simon Horiasima, H-O-R-I-A-S-I-M-A, the fugitive Nazi war criminal in Madrid, who was funding in Swiss banks the Republican Party at the time of Watergate and probably still today. He put this bill through. Richard Lugar pushed this bill for the member of the United States government to be ambassador to the Vatican. They have an ambassador to here. When he has direct links to Nazi war criminals, Swiss banks, and funding of the Republican Party, and is secretive. I brought this up. This is October 24th of this year when the bill was suggested, and going back to June of last year when Lugar attached it. Now, the New York Times has a story about Mr. Wilson, who is had been suggested as the ambassador to the Vatican, William Albert Wilson. Describes him briefly as a mechanical engineer, a degree from Stanford University, of course. Most of Reagan's entourage are the Stanford. People talk about the Trilateral Committee, the Council of Foreign Relations, and I always say the action is out there at Stanford, at the Stanford University and the Hoover Institute for War, Peace, General, and Revolution. Those institutions out there in Palo Alto are where it's at, Hewlett-Packard and Stanford Research and so forth. He was a mechanical engineer at Stanford. He's a registered mechanical and metallurgical engineer from San Francisco. He was in charge. Mr. Wilson was for many years a trustee of Mr. Reagan's personal finances. How would you like to have an envoy to the Vatican who's in charge of the president's finances? I mean, what a money thing this can be. Ronald Reagan's brother was with the head of the university that he graduated from, Illinois, that had about 30 students at the time. Last summer, they're raising money for the university, went to the Vatican. If the president recognizes the Vatican has an envoy at our taxpayers' expense, and all the money that can go pass back and forth between that church and the various envoys putting down the anti-nuclear people and repressing the liberal priests, as they're trying to do with the new Jesuit head of the church that's been appointed. Imagine Ronald Reagan's university will look like the Taj Mahal. They can build another St. Peter's up in Illinois by the time they're through. A man who's in charge of the president's personal finances. Remember when Reagan wanted to sell his home in California? It turned out that the shenanigans involved a woman who got a loan from Johnny Carson's bank that involved the mafia, Robert Duran and Jack Catane. Everything Reagan touches has some taint of scandal, just like Richard Nixon, but for some reason, he's protected. And Mr. Wilson is on the board trustees of St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. I mentioned, coincidentally, where Dennis Wilson checked out of and where Mr. Bloomingdale died not too long ago. Now, who are some of the members of the Knights of Malta, some of the past ones, or the devout Catholics during the Reagan administration? Mr. William Clark from the National Security Council is a devout Catholic. I'm not sure he is a Knight of Malta. Reinhard Gehlen, head of Hitler's intelligence, was knighted and brought to the United States to form the CIA and brought in knights to the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And his brother was secretary to one of the top German officials. And he had Reinhard knighted before he came to this country when the OSS became the CIA. James Jesus Angleton, knighted in 1946. I wrote about them in my article in The Rebel on the JFK assassination. William Buckley, who formed the YAF, people that I wrote about with regards to the Kennedy assassination. Robert Morris, a Knight of Malta. Alan Dulles and Robert Gere were Knights of St. Moritz and St. Corpius. Colonel Willoughby, his name is Weidenbach. I wrote about him in that same Rebel article, was knighted St. Marie, St. Corpius. Mr. Cabell, General Charles Pierre Cabell, the Deputy CIA Director Alan Dulles, was a knight, and his brother, the mayor of Dallas, when John Kennedy was murdered in that city, the Order of St. Lazarus of the from the Vatican knighted. William Casey, the director of the CIA from the OSS, worked with the Nazi generals in this country, brought them here, worked his way up, a Knight of Malta. Claire Luce, whose husband, Mr. Henry Luce, published Time, the lies about Lee Harvey Oswald on the cover, the praising Adolf Hitler in Time magazine, and Mussolini. I don't have to tell you about the publication. She is a Dame of Malta, if you call it that. J. Peter Grace, who knighted Alexander Haig, is the American liaison for, I think, 8 people on the J. Peter Grace Company, W.R. Grace Company, are Knights of Malta. Martin F. Shea, executive vice president of Morgan Bank. They have a telex directly to Rome, Sovereign Military Knight of Malta office to arrange trips and visit Joseph Kennedy, a Knight of Malta. John Raskob, he was from General Motors present. He was implicated in 1930 in the plot to seize the White House. Many of you know the book, or many, some of you don't, that the time Roosevelt came in the 30s, there was a desire on the part of people in this country to have Roosevelt, either him or in place of him, a dictatorship equal to Hitler in Germany and Mussolini in Italy, and General Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps blew the plot. It was arranged by John Raskob, knighted by the Vatican, and W.R. Grace, as I said, has 8 members of the board, Knights of Malta. D.J. Moore was ambassador to Ireland, was on the board. Grace arranged the CIA projects with Radio Free Europe, the Radio Free Liberty. He's the chairman of Aylfield, that's the labor group, the American Institute for Free Labor, the multinational corporations all through South and Central America, the political dictatorships, and J. Peter Grace Company brought in Project Paperclip, the Nazis and their families from Punamun, slave labor camps, and death squads from Germany into the United States. William Doherty was in charge of covert activities, worked with Grace and Company, was responsible helping for the coup in Brazil in 1964, a year after John Kennedy was killed. Roger Milliken from W.R. Grace and Company is associated with John Reese of Western Goals. They have offices in Vienna and Germany, and with Galen's offices of BND, and piped into the Los Angeles Police Department. We've gone into that many times. Milliken is part of Westinghouse, Citicorp, and a supporter of Strom Thurmond. Lee Iacocca is a Knight of Malta from Ford Motor Company, who then went over to Chrysler, but the years were when he was knighted, and he's very active with the church. Baron Hilton with his various hotels and inns. Spiro Scurrus, the shipping tycoon. Francis X. Tankard, Stankard from Chase Manhattan. William Simon, Secretary of the Treasury, Energy Czar. Robert Wagner, the former mayor of New York, who was in the law offices with Simon Rifkin, who set up Otto von Bolschwing, Reinhard Galen's superior. He took over the Galen operation, and he was above Adolf Eichmann and worked in Palo Alto and Sacramento with Ronald Reagan and Stanford Research and the entire entourage of the Stanford Palo Alto scene. I have a list of people, Knights of Malta. Maybe next week I'll do a few more. Some of you know them. William Wilson, the new suggested ambassador to the Holy See. Senator Jeremiah Denton from Georgia, who's pushing terrorism and false stories. He works with Claire Sterling and Michael Ledeen and Alexander Haig with the Anti-Soviet Propaganda Department. Jeremiah Denton is a Knight of Malta. Peter Domenici from New Mexico, the Democrat, chairman of the Subcommittee on Terrorism and Internal Security, who uses the false information of Claire Sterling, is a Knight of Malta. I'll do more next week. I'll leave off here because our time is up. The point is that these people that I'm telling you about are Americans, but they are Romans. They are taking an oath. They have taken an oath to be true to the Church of Rome. The United States at that point becomes second. The Church of Rome and the Holy Roman Empire becomes first. And with it came things like crusades and inquisitions and bloodbaths. And what you're going to see with that $12 billion that Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer won in Central America will make the Roman Empire look pretty shady. The death squads will escalate. It's going to be a horror if they have their way. $12 billion. The same day that Kissinger wanted $8 billion for Central America, J. Peter Grace of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta took $8 billion off of domestic needs the same day. Take from America, give to the dictators in South America. Well, we've got about 20 seconds, and I'll do more about that now. Write to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. If you want an ambassador to the Vatican, don't write. I don't know that you can stop it if you do write, but at least use your pen and try. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. We cut off now. I'll be back with you next week. Take care, and keep reading those papers. Read a lot. There's a lot out there. Bye-bye.